The primary lymphoid organs are the bone marrow and the thymus. So here is your bone marrow, in which B cells come out and you end up having antibody immunity. Here is your bone marrow in which pre-T cells come out, and they move to the thymus to be matured, and as soon as they come out of the thymus, they are ready for cell-mediated immunity. Now, our secondary lymphatic organs, our secondary lymphoid organs, is we have a bunch of them. The ones that you would most likely think of would be lymph nodes and spleen. But you'll also note that we've got tonsils, we've got gut-associated lymphoid tissue, which is the Peyer's patches, we've got bronchus-associated lymphoid tissue, okay, which is the adenoids and the tonsils, etc. So the primary organs are bone marrow and thymus, and the secondary organs are spleen and lymph nodes, plus some others. It's a very important page. We are going to now talk about B cell development. And you're going to notice that, you know what, there's something familiar here, because we were talking about heavy chains and light chains a while ago. B lymphocytes differentiate in the bone marrow. When they leave the bone marrow, they are ready to recognize and respond to antigen. Here is a mature B cell that comes out of the bone marrow. Tell me what the immunoglobulins are on the surface of that mature B cell, IgM and IgD. Has all of the VDJ rearrangement already occurred in that cell right there? Boy, you all ought to be saying yes. It's coming out of the bone marrow. What's already happened when it comes out of the bone marrow? It's mature. It's got IgM and IgD on its surface. Let me ask the question again. Has all of the VDJ rearrangement occurred in that molecule by the time it comes out? Yes. Okay. Very good. Now, here's a stem cell. This stem cell, he's going to start towards the development of a mature cell. It's going to start working that way. This is down in my bone marrow. What is the first thing that's going to happen? The first thing that's going to happen is we're going to make a heavy chain. You remember a while ago when we had a heavy chain? What did we do? We had a VJD rearrangement. Okay? We are actually going to make a heavy chain. That heavy chain is going to be floating around in the cytoplasm. Now, did I say we had a whole IgM molecule? No. We've only got a mu chain. Okay? What's the second thing we're going to do? Now we're going to make a light chain. We're going to make the light chain gene rearrangement. We're going to take a V and a J, okay, and a constant, and we're going to make a light chain. So the first thing that happens in the development of a B cell is the production of a mu chain. The second thing that happens is the production of a light chain. Then they hook together. So now what do you have formed? You have now an IgM molecule. Here is an IgM molecule. It is up on the surface of a B cell, and that is called an immature B cell. It still is in the bone marrow. So what is the characteristic of an immature B cell? It has IgM only on it. Now what's it going to do? We learned a while ago. It's now going to make a what? It's going to make an IgD. As soon as it makes an IgD, is that IgD that it makes going to end up on the surface of that same cell? Yes, it's going to end up on the surface of that same cell. As soon as we get that M and D on that surface, it is now going to be out in the secondary organs. It's going to move out to the secondary organs. It's still a virgin. When it is no longer a virgin is when it meets up with the antigen for the first time. As soon as it meets the antigen for the first time, it's going to start being activated. It's going to start dividing. You remember the slide we had a while ago when it went from one cell to two cells to four cells to eight cells? And some of it became memory. Here we got some memory cells. Okay? You remember the chart we had a while ago when we told you that memory cells may be able to make what? All of the IgGs. They may be able to make all of the IgE. May be able to make all the IgA, but what can memory cells no longer make because they've already class switched? They can't make any more M or D, right? So here we go with this great cell that's making antibody. Has class switching already occurred right here? You ought to all be saying, yeah. How can it not be class switching if it's making IgG? It has to be class switching, okay? Now, how do you know this is a B cell? How would we know it? Well, first of all, it's got IgM, it's got IgD on its surface. Not only that, tell me the other markers that we've already named that it has. CD, 19, 20, and 21. CD, 19, 20, and 21. What in the world is this molecule, TDT? What does that thing do? It's way over here in the early stuff. What did I tell you that it did? It may insert some what? Some extra bases. And as a result, that leads in more diversity. Okay? That leads in more diversity. One more thing that you should make sure you understand here is this is a complement receptor. And that complement receptor is the receptor for Epstein-Barr virus. I can hear Louise Hawley telling you right now. What happens when you have infectious mono? You get a big increase in B cells. Why would you get a big increase in B cells? Because the Epstein-Barr virus hooks on to that complement receptor and stimulates those B cells to divide. Okay? Hooks on and stimulates those B cells to divide. Please remember, all B cells also express class II molecules because they are immunocompetent cells. T cell differentiation. All right, somebody already tell me what happens. What happens in the bone marrow to T cells? They develop and become precursors, but they can't finish. They have to go where first? They got to go to the thymus first, okay? They've got to go to the thymus first. Our next discussion is going to be on T cell differentiation. We finished B cells. Remember, the B cells are developed in the bone marrow, and when they come out of the bone marrow, they go ahead and go to the secondary lymphatic organs. Well, T cells undergo differentiation in the thymus. When they leave the bone marrow, they cannot recognize antigen. They aren't ready to go yet. What happens in the thymus in order to mature them? Well, development occurs in the thymus. And they have some intimate contact with the thymus. They have contact with thymic cells, with macrophages, and with dendritic cells in the thymus. That helps them to mature. Well, what does maturing of a T cell mean? It means the same thing as maturing of the B cell. There is VDJ rearrangement, just like we had in the B cell. And finally, that mature T cell is going to have how many different T cell receptors on it? Just one. It's going to have alpha chain and a beta chain, and it only reacts with one type of molecule. Now, what does this mean right here? Intimate contact. What does this mean? Differentiation. Okay? Well, these T cells, when they contact the thymic cells and the dendritic cells and the macrophage, that helps them develop, and it helps them to develop by a positive selection are a failure of positive selection or a negative selection. Now, what is a positive selection? These are the T cells that recognize self, but not strongly. Now, that not strongly statement is very important. Because if they recognize self, but not strongly, they will be positive selected. After they are positive selected and they mature, they will move out to the secondary lymphoid organs. The T cells that fail to recognize self, they will die, and that's because of failure of positive selection. Now, the last statement is very, very important. T cells that recognize themselves too highly, they bind very strongly to self, then they're going to be negative selected because that might lead to autoimmunity. So we're going to get rid of some of the cells. Now, when you look at that right there, when you read all of this, that's okay. You could understand it from that. But the picture on the next page is even better. It helps you understand what you just got through reading a little bit easier. Let's look at this picture. Here is some thymus cells. All of this is thymus stroma. Here is a T cell that has high affinity for class 1 self molecules. It binds very strongly to self. Now, what did that page before say we're going to do with that? We're going to get rid of it. We don't want it binding to self because it might end up being autoimmune disease. So we're going to kill that cell. We're going to apoptose that cell. We're going to negative select it. Okay? The same way for if it binds strongly to class 2 molecules. If this T cell binds strongly to this class 2 molecule of our normal tissue, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to negative select it. We're going to apoptosis and kill it. What if a T cell doesn't bind to self at all? Well, if a T cell won't bind to your MHC at all, then it's useless. It's no good whatsoever. So this is failure of positive selection in any form or fashion. And that cell's going to be removed. What's the only two kinds of T cells that we're going to keep? We're going to keep a T cell that has very low affinity for class 1 molecules. It binds very low. We're going to pick that. That's positive selection. And if it binds to class 1, then what does it have to be? What kind of cell is it going to turn out to be? A CD8. What if it has very low affinity for class 2? Then it's going to be positive selected as a CD4 cell. Now, we are in the thymus. So what is now going to happen to this cell and to this cell? They are now going to move out into the secondary lymphoidal organs, and they are ready to go. Have we already developed the T cell receptor? Yeah, look, there's the T cell receptor right there. It's already been developed. Here's a good T cell receptor, and there's a good one right there. Okay? What are the markers of T cells? We have done that to some degree already this morning, but let's make sure that we've got the T-cell markers correct. This is a good slide right here. One of the first T-cell markers, one of the first T-cell markers to develop is we're going to have the CD38 molecule. CD3. The CD3 molecule. We're going to develop the TCR. And can you see from this slide that for a period of time, the CD4 and CD8 is on both cells? But what did we say happened to one of them? One of them is going to be removed. So if the 8 is removed, what does that end up being? A 4. If the 4 is removed, then that's going to end up being a CD8. Okay. In the early thymocyte development, CD4 and CD8 molecules are co-expressed. That's what that says right here. They're co-expressed. As the cell matures, only one of those molecules is retained. If the T cell has a high affinity for class 1 molecule, the CD8 marker will be retained. If it has a high affinity for class 2, then the CD4 marker will be retained. This is summarized in the bottom of the page. In the bottom of the page, CD3 is on all T cells. Now, this is the first time we've mentioned this. The purpose of the CD3 molecule is for signal transduction. Okay? It's for signal transduction. And we're going to have a more detailed picture of that in just a minute. CD4, we've already talked about. CD8, we've already talked about. Now, we've got some new molecules here. This is the first time they've been mentioned, and these you need to know. When this macrophage and this T cell hook up, or when this T cell and this B cell hook up, there are other molecules that help that activity, that help them hook up. The macrophage hooking to the T cell, or the T cell hooking to the B cell, there's some other molecules that help. All right? Now let me tell you what they are. There is a CD28 marker on a T cell. That marker reacts with a marker called B7 on antigen-presenting cells. Now look at me. Here this macrophage is. Here this T cell is. For them to best get together, that T cell has a CD28 marker. That macrophage has a B7 marker. When those markers come together, that's called co-stimulation. So that T cell is better stimulated. So co-stimulation molecules mean exactly what they are. Give me an example of a co-stimulation molecule. CD28 and B7, okay? The other thing on this page that's important is the CD40 ligand. The CD40 ligand is on the T cell. That T cell can bind to a B cell. Here this T cell is binding to the B cell. Tell me the co-stimulation molecule that's already on that T cell that we just named. CD28. Tell me the co-stimulation molecule on the B cell that we just named. B7. Tell me the co-stimulation molecule on the T cell. Another one. CD40, ligand. Tell me the binding molecule on the B cell that binds that. CD40.